Good to see everyone this morning. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord and gathering with your brothers and sisters. Thank you for showing your faithfulness to the Lord and each other by your presence here this morning. It's so good to see you. We must never forget that the Holy Spirit of God wrote this. He used men of old to put it down. But it was He who gave it. It's God speaking to us. So let's never forget that. Let's hold it up in that light, the Word of God. He indwelt men of old to record God's Word for us. The Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to author the book of Romans. You can turn there now, chapter 7, the book of Romans. He used the Apostle Paul to author the book, to tell us how to have the freedom to obey, serve, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three elements there. Obey, serve, and live for our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you gave us your word, the guidebook for us. And not only did you give us the word, but you gave the Holy Spirit to be with us and guide us through your word and guide us through life, Lord. Help us to submit to the will of the Holy Spirit. We know He is God and He wants the best for us. He tries to take us to the best places, to do the best things, to end up with the best results. So, Lord, help us to follow the Holy Spirit, die to ourselves, and live by following Him. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving yourself for us, sacrificing your body and your blood, shedding your blood to forgive us so we could have a relationship with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to look at chapter 7 in the book of Romans. And I want us to keep in mind that this is given so we can know how to obey and serve and live for the Lord. Starting in verse 1, it says this. Paul asking a question. Actually, God asking the question through Paul. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? Now, we just assume that Paul is speaking about God's law given through Moses, but that's not necessarily, that's kind of limiting here in what the Lord wants us to understand. As you know, there are many different kinds of laws in the world which govern human behavior. The Holy Spirit is not speaking here of any specific spiritual or civil law. He is speaking of the universal principle of law. Law dictates behavior and outcome. The principle is that a power or a person of power in this world has given a guideline, a law guiding behavior under that authority. Laws have authority over people until what? Until they die. A dead person is not obeying the law anymore. The laws of this world, at least. And so the law has authority as long as we live. But when people die, death puts an end to the authority of the law and of the authority of this world over us. Verses 2 and 3 give us an example of this. Verse 2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. excuse me. These verses are not given to inform us about marriage and divorce, although they are used that way many times. They are given to show us the dominion, the authority of the law which we are under. Both the woman and the man were subject to the law of marriage until one of them died. When the man died, the woman was freed from that particular law, just as the man was. In verse 4, the Holy Spirit will show us how death can work in our favor, because we look so negatively on death because it's the end of life here as we know it. But it's not the end of life. We have eternal life. Believers in Christ have eternal life with Him in glory, and we look forward to that. Non-believers have eternal life, an eternal life of punishment for their unbelief, their mistrust of Jesus. But we have the favor of the Lord. Verse 4 says this, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." The man's death in verse 3 gave freedom to the woman to have a new life. She could do whatever she wanted, go wherever she wanted, marry again whoever she wanted. She had a new life. His death freed her from the law of marriage. In verse 4, it says, "We have become dead to the law." Well, to which law is the Holy Spirit referring? Because we're not all married, not even to one another. So what law is it referring to? It is referring to the law given in Ezekiel 18:20. Ezekiel 18:20. And that law says, "The soul who sins shall die." That's God's law in His Word. The soul that sins shall die. We call that the law of sin and death. And every human that is born is subject to that law. The soul that sins, it shall die. We are freed from the law of sin and death, however, when we believe and confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. He, Scripture says, He is the end of the law, all of the law, except for the law of grace. Because once we find Jesus, we're going to live for Him. And our law is the law of love. We love Him for what He did for us. And so we can celebrate finding Jesus and becoming alive in Him. When a person believes in the saving work of Jesus Christ, they become free from the law of sin and death. Just like the wife of the dead man was freed from the law of marriage, when we trust Jesus, we are freed from the law of sin and death. And we are freed by the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ in our place. That's what happens when we accept Jesus. We are in Christ. We become placed in Christ, who died to free us from that law. And so we are freed from it. We are cleansed from the sin under which we were condemned before that. So we are now free. Free to do as we please, right? Not really. We do have that freedom. But because of the grace of the Lord and what He did for us, we turn our love to Him and He becomes the focal point of our love. He should become the focal point of our love for His great sacrifice for us. That's why we serve and live for Him. It's out of His grace, His love for us, and His sacrifice for us. Amen? Yes, we are born again through Jesus Christ. We have died to our old self, and we are now born to a new life in Christ. We are placed in Him through faith in what He did for us, His substitutionary death. Yes, we are born again through Christ. Now we have the freedom to unite with Christ and live with Him and in Him and for Him. We have that freedom. But we're still accountable to make that choice. We chose to be saved. Now we need to choose to follow. For many Christians, they get saved and that's it. I'm happy with that. But there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. Following Christ and being filled up with the joy that comes with serving Him. We are born again through Christ. Now we have the freedom to unite with Him, to obey, serve, and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be married to Him as part of His bride, the church. This is the bride of Christ. And we are married to Him, in a sense, spiritually, and we live now for Him, to be obedient to Him. We begin by bearing fruit for Him and giving the good news of Christ to others. That's how we bear fruit, by giving the gospel and encouraging non-believers to trust Him for their salvation. Amen. They need that relationship, do they not? Amen. We have it to give to them. Why hold back? Oh, there's many reasons, but I would encourage you today, don't hold back. Give the gospel. Tell them of a loving Savior who died in their place so they could have eternal life and love and glory. Amen? Now, starting in verse 5, the Apostle Paul begins to tell us about the battle of our flesh. Because we get saved and we are born again spiritually, but we still have this old flesh that we have to live with and deal with every day. And you know that it's passing away. We experience that. We do the best we can with it while we have it, but it's going away. But in verse 5 it says this, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." When we were in the flesh. He's talking about when we lived in the flesh. We followed the flesh. We didn't know Jesus Christ. We didn't know what He wanted for us. We didn't know His plan for us. And so we did the best we could by following basically the world and getting by as best we could in the world. But when we gave our life to Christ and we were born again, we knew that there was a better way. And that way was living for Christ and following the Holy Spirit who He has given to us, not only as a guide, but as the power to function for Christ in this world. So we get both of those things, right? So now we are living for Christ, but we're dealing with this flesh. And the flesh doesn't like to be told what to do. It has its own way. It wants its own way. And it doesn't want to give that up. It's just like giving rules to a child. If you say to a child, "Don't touch that," that rule that you just gave, it just fires them up inside. Amen. And it's like, why can't I touch that? Now I have to touch it to see what's going to happen. And so they do their best to get over there and touch it. They want to touch it all the more because we said, nope, that's off limits. That's the way the flesh is. That's the way it works. If you say to a person who is dieting, "You can't eat that," what happens? Oh, they're going to find a way, okay? They're already thinking in their mind, "I'm going to find a way. Here's how I think I can do it." And they're going to do their best to get what you said they shouldn't have and can't have. They want it all the more. That's the way the law works. When you are told, "No, you can't do this," then the law fires up in you and you want to try it to see what's going to happen. You want it all the more. Without Christ, we are walking in death. Because all we can think of is what the world wants for us. And what the Lord wants, we think of, well, why? Why can't we have it? You know, what's the big deal? Follow the Lord. Start finding out. Decide that you're going to follow the Lord. You claim Jesus. Make the commitment that you're going to follow the Holy Spirit. He's your leader. He's your leader now. He's with you. Follow Him. So we have been under the law all this time in our life. And the law is still out there. It hasn't gone anywhere. The world is still there fighting against us. But verse 6 says this, "But now we have been delivered from the law." How were we delivered? Through the death of Jesus Christ. Through our faith in His death. It works by faith. We have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in newness of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Newness of the Holy Spirit. And not in the oldness of the letter. The law is written for a guideline, but there's a better guideline now. A better guide, right? And we should die to the one and live for the other. After being saved, we don't hear, "You can't. You can't. You can't do that." We don't hear that anymore. We've been freed from that to hearing this: "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But what happens before we say that? There's a change of heart. There's a change of mind. We get the mind of Christ in us. And we want to please the Father. And we want to please our Lord. So we leave behind those things that are hurtful to us in our relationship to the Lord. And we try to live a life pleasing to Him. Amen?
Amen.
And in living that life, we're an example to others. We, the born again, have the Holy Spirit and God's Word guiding us to eat healthy. What? To eat healthy? Yes. To stay on that diet of Bible study. Yeah. Stay on the Bible study and church fellowship and encouraging one another. Agathosune, right? Doing good for others. Any way you see that you can do it, do it. Encouraging one another with kindness and serving our Lord. We've changed from following the world to following the Holy Spirit, and those are the things He would like us to do. Fellowship with Him by fellowshipping with our Lord and one another. That's how we do it. We have a new life in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We should never forget that. We don't have to live for this anymore. We should live for Him in the power of His grace, His love, His mercy. All those things come to us. A new life to obey the Holy Spirit, serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and live for His glory. Those should be our guiding words that we should use to continue to live for Him. Amen. Now I'm going to read through verse 7 through verse 12. Stay with me. Don't fall asleep. Verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin?" Well, God gave us the law as a guide. Is it sinful because we don't like it? "Certainly not." That's what Paul says. "On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law." I have to have the law to know right from wrong. Otherwise, I'm lost. "For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shalt not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire." Where does sin live? In our flesh. Yes, it's in our flesh. It takes the opportunity to bring evil desire into our thoughts and our hearts. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good, because it shows me the right way. I'm in the flesh. I can't do the right way. If I'm following the flesh, following the world. So verses 7 through 11 tell us that the law, God's word, is good. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Of course you do. You know it is. By faith you accept that. But sin used God's word against us, revealing our lack of understanding that God's law really is good. You see, it's one of those things you have to test. You have to do it to find out. You can't see the other side until you get into it. You have to give up your old ways. Can you do that? No, you can't. You have to trust the Holy Spirit to lead you out of that. That's His job. That's the power He gives you to come out of your old ways and use God's ways to replace those old ways and live for Him. Then what happens? You begin to see the goodness of the Lord through those laws. But you don't see it unless you try it. If you just say, I can't do that, I'm not going to even try, then you're done. You're stuck. Don't be stuck. Give it the try, right? You can do it in the Lord. Remember what we just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it to yourself when the struggle comes and be proactive and do your best to fulfill it, and the Holy Spirit makes up the difference and you get through it. Amen?
Amen?
So we have this lack of understanding. We think that God's ways are hard and we can't do it. And what we're doing, we can do, and even though it might not be so good, we can do it. Don't stay there. Here's why you shouldn't stay there. Our sin separates us from God. Yes, our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't say, forget about you, you can't do it, I'm moving on. No, He doesn't do that. But He goes from leading you and guiding you into the new things that will benefit you and be a testimony about Christ in you to other people. He has to stop doing that and He has to get you back on track. So He starts saying to you, well, you know, you really should come over here and do this. We need to stop and pray about this, and we can follow the Lord's way. We get the scripture out and read the scripture and find out what we should do about this. Have you ever been wondering about something and then finally you think, gee, I ought to open the Bible and read and see if it says anything about this? You know, you can use Google to find Bible stuff. Okay? It's in there. You don't even have to know the whole verse. Just put the gist of it in there. And it will give you the verse. So use those tools that the world uses for who knows what to get closer to God. That's what He wants you to do. Amen? He wants you to get closer to God, and you can do it through the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. We, the born again, have the Holy Spirit and God's Word guiding us to eat healthy and do all those things that we need to do. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, when we sin, well, let me say this first. Well, I did say this. Our sin separates us from God. And we know that. How do we know that? Well, from God's Word. But it's experientially given to us through Adam and Eve. When sin came into the garden, what happened to Adam and Eve? They went out of the garden. They couldn't live there anymore because now they were sinners. So God's law is God's holy and just expectation for us. He wants that outcome to come through our obedience. And He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. It's His just expectation for us, which can only be fulfilled by those who are in Christ. You must be born again. You must be. You'll never be able to do it in your own spirit, on your own. Paul then asks us in verse 13, has then what is good become death to me? God's law, God's word given, has it become death to me? And he answers this right away, certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Can you explain that? That's a tricky verse, isn't it? Yeah. God made his commandment in such a way that it would make our disobedience become absolutely clear. It would be under a glaring spotlight, so we would know in our heart and mind, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. He wants us to know His ways, and when we get off the path, He wants us to know it. Amen? Next, the apostle explains this in verse 14, down through verse 20, actually. He says this, for we know that the law is spiritual. It's spiritual. You must be spiritual to carry out the law. How do you become spiritual? You must be born again. That's how you become spiritual. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. How do you get that? You are born again. You must accept the work of Jesus Christ done for you by Him on the cross. His body and blood shed for you. If you don't accept that, you're not born again. He was and is the sacrifice that frees us from sin, washes us clean. We must have it, or we will never understand the spiritual laws of God and their benefit. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I'm sold under sin. This flesh is dying. It's dead, and it's not going to eternity with me or you. Amen. If you trust God, this body isn't going there. You're going to get a new one.
Amen.
For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. Well, I might know what's good. I might know what God says is good. And I might desire to do it. And I might say, I'm going to do it. But I don't do it. Because something gets in the way. Hello. It's this. It takes me places I don't want to go. I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. We should hate it when we disobey God. The red flag should go up and we should fall on our knees and ask for forgiveness. Verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Well, you shouldn't do that, but I do it anyway. That law was right. Now I'm in disobedience. I'm in sin. Verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. This body of flesh is a body of sin. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us doubting. He tells us, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how? How to perform what is good, I do not find. So how do you find it? I must be born again. That's the only way you're going to find it. When the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you, then you start finding it because He starts guiding you. And He throws the spotlight on the negative and He lifts you up in the positive. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. As long as we're in the flesh, we have sin with us. And it tries to influence us. For people who woke up this morning and realized they didn't set their clock forward and they're late for church, many said, well, I just won't go. What are you going to miss if you get there late? Some announcements, maybe some singing. But really, why do you come to church? You want to hear the Word of God. You want to hear what God is saying. And you want to follow His ways. So you're a little bit late. It's okay. We'll still love those people that come in late. We still love them, right? It's okay. So we need to encourage each other to follow the Lord, whether we're late or on time or whatever. We need to follow the Lord by being obedient to the Holy Spirit, sacrificing our will. See, that's what it's saying there. The evil I will. I have a will. I tell myself things I want to do and things I don't want to do. But we're supposed to die to that. We're supposed to give that up to the Holy Spirit. So when He says, let's do this, you say, okay, you're the Holy Spirit, let's go. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Just so we know. I kind of suspect you know that already though. Verses 14 through 19 describe our battle with sin. The wars between the new life in Christ we now have and the old life in the flesh. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual mindset that guides our old flesh. That's where we should be. That's what we should be doing. So the wars between those two entities in our life. How will we win? You must die to win. You must kill your will. Give it up to the Lord. Take your new life you have in Christ to the feast. The feast? Yes, the feast. The feast of all the Christ-honoring godly activities you can find. Access all those things. They will help you be faithful to your new born-again life and follow the Holy Spirit. Immerse yourself in those things. That's why we have church 3 times a week. That's why we have Bible study 3 more times a week. Actually 4 because we have it on Sunday morning. Feed your soul, your new soul that is following Christ. You have to feed it, or it gets weak. Do you want your new life in Christ to be a weak life? No, you don't. So think about it. Think about it and make a commitment. Think about it and come to Ryan's Bible study and to the ladies' Bible study and to Sunday morning Bible study with Jim and Thursday night. Come to all those things. Come to things like the ladies' conference that they went to yesterday and had a great time. Go to those kind of things. Come to the men's breakfast and fellowship with the men, you men. Come and help out at the dental bus and the farmer's market. That's working with one another in the Lord. You are being agathosune to everybody that comes through that dental bus. That's the goodness of the Lord. That's what that means. That's the word they use in the New Testament when they're using Greek. Agathosune, be goodness to everyone. Do all the positive things in Christ that you can, so you can starve the old person you were. You got to stop feeding that old person. Yeah, it'll be hard. You'll still like that old music. You'll still like those old places you used to go. But they're not feeding your new self. They're not feeding your spirit in Christ. Amen? So do the positive things. Fear not. Get busy doing those things. You'll find the ones you really like to do, and you'll focus on them, and that'll be okay. Can't do everything anyway. You don't have enough time. Finally, verses 21 through 25. They tell us the most important thing to do. Verse 21 and following. I find then a law. A new law. That evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. You know, the enemy doesn't give up on you just because you said yes to Jesus. In all likelihood, he probably attacks you even more. Because even though you're now born again, he doesn't want you to grow in Christ and become effective for him. He doesn't want you to be an encourager to others. He's not on board with that. So the evil is still present. You're still in the world. You cannot escape. So just accept that evil is there. But that doesn't mean you have to give in to it. You're now in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit empowering you. So live for Him. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, in my new life in Christ inside. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be good to everybody. I want to encourage them to come to the Lord and know the love and the mercy and the grace that I've found. Amen. That's in me. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, which wants to serve Christ. And it's warring against that, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my flesh. It's still there. Here we are in church. We're proclaiming Jesus. But the evil sin is still there in our flesh. Do we have to give in to it? No, we don't. We have the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ. We have things working for us now. I don't have to be in captivity. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He will deliver me. And the Holy Spirit is out there working on people saying, He, Jesus Christ, will deliver you from the torment of this world into His glorious kingdom. And then you set your mind on those things. The enemy won't give up just because you became a believer. Evil will always be there trying to trip you up. It only takes a thought. 24/7. And then you're tripped up. And evil lives here in your flesh, fighting against you, fighting against God, the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a beat down captive, fearing the enemy. You have the King of Glory working through you. Don't stay in the old way. You can have the victory. Jesus has given his body and blood to redeem you and set you on the right path to victory. And that's what happened when you got saved. He redeemed you and set you on the right path, gave you the Holy Spirit. What do we need to do? Because it doesn't just happen automatically once you're saved, right? You have to make a commitment. Yes, you have to commit your life to Christ. Were you baptized? You made the commitment. You died. When you presented yourself to baptism, you said, I'm dying. This represents my death. I'm now dead. I'm living for Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He now guides my life. But then, wham, 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 we get beat on by the world and we hold up. Don't hold up. Go back to that commitment. Go back to that commitment. The Lord will love you for doing that. The Holy Spirit will take you back in a heartbeat and guide you from that point on. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation because you're in Christ. And He wants good for you. And He's going to encourage you to live that good life by following the Holy Spirit. Ryan, you better come up, please. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Ask Him to empower you. Ask Him to empower you. Then follow Him as He leads you. Because He'll do it. He would love to have control of your life. Just give it to Him. Most importantly, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that you've been called out of the world and into His glorious light. That's what's happened. He's called you into His kingdom. He's called you to live in Him and with Him and by Him. He gave you life. He gave you life. You were just the walking dead before that. You didn't know it maybe, but now you know it. He gave you life to do what? To follow Him. We should all be following Jesus, imitating Him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't do it on our own, but with the Holy Spirit, submitting to Him, we can do it. And you'll become more and more and more consistent in walking in the Spirit if you commit to doing it. Make the commitment. Follow the Lord. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Moment by moment by moment. That's what the new life is. It's walking in the moment with the Holy Spirit. Things change quickly in this world, don't they? You need the Holy Spirit moment by moment, and He'll be there for you. He'll be there to help you obey, serve, and live for the Lord. Isn't that what you want to do? Obey, serve, and live for the Lord? Of course it is. So now it's time for that moment of decision. Will I do it? Will I make the commitment? I don't know. I've tried it before and I fell flat on my face. Doesn't seem to work for me. That's right. Keep asking. Keep coming back. Keep trusting the Holy Spirit that He's going to lift your spirit up to start serving the Lord. Make that decision and make that commitment. It's not going to happen until you say to yourself, I will do it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. I want to do this. That's what you have to do. Make the commitment. So why do this in front of the congregation? Why do we have an altar call? Could just do it sitting there silently. Could go home and do it, right? Can do that. Why do we do an altar call?
Witness.
As a witness, as a testimony, as an encouragement to everybody who's sitting here. Gee, is the Holy Spirit really working? How are we going to know? Action, action, action. That's how you know. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you, then you should come up. You don't have to tell everybody what happened. You don't have to tell everybody what you're dealing with. That's not the point. The point is you are giving in to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work and lead you. And you want everybody else in here to know it because you came up here. That's the point. And so when you come, you surrender whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. If there's anything great or small keeping you from obeying, serving, and living for the Lord, then you need to confess it and repent and make the commitment to follow the Lord. Turn from whatever it is that's got a hold on you and come back to the Lord. Confess it to Him, ask Him to take it away. And then start living like He took it away. That's called believing it. That's called faith. Live like it happened. Because in His mind, it has happened. It needs to be in your mind, right? Confess, turn from it in the power of the Holy Spirit and get your freedom back. Yes. That's what bondage is. When you keep serving something in your life that's taken a hold that's contrary to God. That's bondage. You need to get rid of that. Christ sets you free from that. If you believe that, then you confess it, repent, and start living like it's true. Then you get your freedom back. Amen. Father, we're thankful, so thankful for these that are showing us that Your Holy Spirit does come and work in us and through us, and that You are willing to accept us back. Doesn't matter what the sin is or how far away we were. None of that matters. Just that we're willing to confess and repent and come back and start walking with You. Lord, Your blessings, I pray, on all these who've made that decision. And Lord, for all those who made a decision and still stayed out in the audience, I pray, Lord, that You'll give them the holy power to share that they've made a decision and that they're going to start walking in a different direction. They're going to start letting You have control of their life and control of everything about their life, Lord. Bless them. Help them to walk in the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, for those who are just thinking about doing this, they want to do it, but they're holding back for some reason, Lord, let them come. You are a loving, gracious God. You will not condemn them. You want to lift them up and empower them to walk in the Spirit and serve You in love and in mercy. Lord, bless them, I pray. Lord, bless all of us as we go out to share the name of Jesus Christ and His love for all of us. We pray this in the only name that matters, the name of Jesus Christ, the only God that is. We give You praise and glory and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.